Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And also, don't forget to download the SGPN app. We are giving away $500 in our NFL Draft Props Contest. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft or click the contest tab in the SGPN app.
Hi-ho, DeGeneres Arena is a welcome back, or for the first time, to the, what is this? I was almost called us the MLB, but no, that's somebody else. The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're going to say this is episode 136, question mark. Nah, we'll go with episode 136, period. That's what it is. Let's dedicate this one to referee Mike Beltran for making my co-host's underdog dreams come true and him hitting his pick over the weekend. So good on you, Mike Beltran. So thanks for coming to the podcast. I would be your host. Almost forgot my nickname here. I do have a nickname as per usual. I am the Dagestan Milk Stomper, Jeff Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. We got a packed episode for you here. We're going to recap a big weekend in MMA, actually a very big weekend in women's MMA. All three of the main shows of the weekend were headlined by female fighters. So kudos to all the organizations for that. So we're going to recap that. And then we got just some, since you're all the gens and you want the picks, you need action on every event. We've got some juicy picks for you for PFL, which is coming up on, it looks like it's running Thursday again this week, but normally it's a Wednesday thing. So we're going to crack right into that. For those, maybe for those of you who are just joining the podcast, you haven't listened to this podcast before. Hope you all know like the old trope in cartoons where you have the character has a angel on one shoulder, a devil on the other. That's kind of like how this podcast works. I, Jeff Fox, would be the angel on your shoulder, doing you good, giving you all the picks that get you in the money. And then the devil on your other shoulder, that'll be my co-host. He did you dirty again this weekend, but I guess he's been an angel enough in the past that we'll forgive him, but let's bring him into the show and see what kind of excuses he has for this week. His name is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So first of all, I was really curious when you said there was going to be the devil and the angel. I was really curious of which one you were going to make me. Because
devil,
think you,
obviously.
But I think you sometimes enjoy being the Shale Sun and bad guy. So I didn't know if I was going to get to be the angel for that. And I will also say this. You said I did him dirty. positive number in recommended plays and a Bellator underdog for you. I don't know. 3-0 with Bellator. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure what's more you need from me.
Exactly. What more do you want from him? Dan is very good at cherry picking, finding the silver lining in his failures, which is good. Good way to live. So, I'm too good right now to be the devil, Dan. So you have to have the horns at least for the next little while and the pitchfork.
I can live with that. I'll be all right with that.
But it is balmy up here, so I could be the devil. It's finally in the MMA Gambling Podcast Northern Studios. It's finally hot. I think in your American degrees, it was about 80 today, which is pretty wild for an April day since we had snow last week.
80 degrees up there. That is substantially warmer than down here. And I also like that you called it American degree.
Yes. Well, the rest of the world uses Celsius. So come on.
You guys. Yeah, that's true. But we like being different.
It's true. It is true. Did you enjoy the fights this weekend or was it? I think I might've just enjoyed it because I was winning all my picks, but was I being biased or did you have fun watching the fights this weekend?
So they were pretty exciting. I would say, I don't know, I was pretty bummed out that Romanoff got pulled.
You lost a trusty guy.
Right, yeah. So,
what's the story? Have you heard any dirt, Dan, on why Chase Sherman pulled out last minute? Last minute?
I am not sure what happened, but I also will say that I heard that they're rebooking it for next weekend, so it can't be anything too serious, right?
Yeah, or no failed tests or anything like that. So, okay,
right.
That's good. All right. Because we that was easy money. Maybe the books will forget who Romanov is and they'll give us a juicy line. Probably not, but hey.
I think I saw it posted at -1200.
Oh, it's even worse. Good. It's even worse than it was. Good to hear. And we also lost Manal Kopp and my underdog pick, Sue Muderji, or Muderji Sue. That fight fell through too. So we lost little guys and big guys. It was carnage, chaos. We ended up with 11 fights instead of 13. So. Too bad.
And that was one of my recommended plays too, with Manal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what saved Dan's bacon this week is he didn't lose the Manal cat pick. So that would have been another $40 down the tubes for you. So anywho.
I hope they book that fight again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right, so let's actually dive right into it and recap the three events we gave you picks for, two Bellators and a UFC. For the weekend, all headlined by women, which I didn't really clue in until I was listening to those Irish guys, Severe MMA and Sean Sheehan mentioned. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't, which probably is a good thing. I didn't, it's not even an odd thing that every event was headlined by a woman, but that was the case. So we got those, and then we're going to get you picks for PFL, but only for the featherweights because secretly, Dan must hate chunky guys. He always claims that he loves chunky guys, but he doesn't want to make any picks for chunky guys. So we'll get into that. But first, WinBet. We got to get into the WinBet first. Make sure you get down on the wins. Bet $10, win $200 promotion, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And, of course, don't forget to get involved in their same-game parlays with the Win's own Build Your Own Bet feature. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a 3-plus leg build-your-own-bet parlay between Thursday to Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the NFL, it's NFL draft season. NFL never sleeps. And of course, SGPN, we have another contest. We're giving away another $500 of Gumby's money in our NFL draft props contest. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft or click the contest tab in the SGPN app, which you should download. It's a great app. Winner take all, $500 out of Gumby's pocket. Stick it to him for giving you crappy picks. Also, Coors Light. We're brought to you by Coors Light. Do you ever feel like you're always on? Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. Non-cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Hockey team? I think they mean the mountains, I'm guessing. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Here's the important part. When I need to take a second to for myself, I reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right. I was celebrating on the weekend. And Dan, he's, like I said, he's picking his spots to celebrate, and he had a few things to celebrate. Let's get into that first. Bellator. On the weekend, they had two events from Hawaii. Wasn't a very good weekend for the Hawaiian fighters, but it was a pretty good weekend for the fights. Friday night, the main event was Juliana Velasquez defending her flyweight championship against Liz Carmouche. Liz Carmouche finally wins herself a championship. She didn't have a championship in any promotion, which is a kind of astonishing thing that we figured out on last episode, but that is no longer the case. She is the champion of Bellator. She won TKO elbows from Crucifix 447 into round four, a very controversial stoppage because she really wasn't inflicting much damage on Juliana Velasquez. Maybe my biased co-host will have a different view on that, but because he had Carmouche at plus 160. This was a fight Velasquez was clearly winning. Maybe Carmouche won the first round, but Velasquez had taken the second, the third, was doing pretty good in the fourth until she got herself crucifixed. So basically, if anyone's to blame, I guess she should blame herself for getting herself in that position. But majority, I haven't heard anyone saying that was a good stoppage. Maybe Dan will. Let's see.
So let me first start here. Velasquez actually did win the first round on every single judges' scorecard. So she was
up. You think she did, though?
I mean, like that first round stopped the score, I think. Yeah. So first of all, she was up 3-0. Second of all, do I think it was a good stoppage? Not necessarily, but here's what I will say about the stoppage, is that was she doing the damage that should have allowed Mike Beltran to step in there and call it? No. But I would also say the way Velasquez moved underneath almost prompted Mike Beltran to stop it. Like, if you watch her all during the first bunch of elbows or the first bunch of strikes or whatever you want to call what she was throwing, she was moving her head side to side. She was taking most of the punches off, like, the side of her forehead or the temple. And she was looking like she was trying to turn her body. And then she lays herself flat, essentially, takes two in a row off the forehead. And I don't know if it looks like she's trying to do, like, a backbender or something like that, but, like, all of a sudden her eyes go upwards. And I don't think she was actually hurt or anything like that. I think she just decided to try to move a different way. But if you look at it in isolation and like, you don't know what happens to her afterwards, it does actually look like she took a little bit of abuse there. And then, like, obviously, as soon as, you know, Carmouche lets her go, you're like, oh, yeah, no, she was definitely fine and there was nothing wrong. But, like, I think the way she moved almost prompted Beltran to stop it. And that's not to say it's a good stoppage, but, like, Beltran was, you know, I think he was doing what he should be doing, which is, like, looking for any signs of impairment. And, like, suddenly not moving and taking the shots off the forehead instead of the side of the head, while, you know, probably doing the same amount of damage. That change, I think, to me, again, it's not a good stoppage, but I at least understand what he was doing.
It's a tough job regardless. So it's too bad Carmouche has this hanging over her now. It's kind of like the Aljamain Sterling victory when he became champ. Sounds like they're going to run it back, so maybe she can pull Aljamain Sterling and win more convincingly, even though on paper that looked like a convincing win when you say you won via TKO elbows from Crucifix, but maybe she can win more convincing next time and everyone will get off her back that way because it wasn't her fault. She did exactly what she's supposed to do. The ref decided to stop it. Any other fights worthy of speaking of on the first night? Did you watch anything else that was awesome other than guys pretending they got kicked in the crotch when they didn't really?
We're gonna talk more about getting kicked in the crotch later, but no, for right now, we don't need to talk about this anymore.
We don't need to talk. All right, second night, no controversy in the main event, and Dan hit this one too. Both of his picks, he got plus 160. for the Carmouche win. And then a very nice -899, I think, is what we had you at for the other for the Cyborg fight. That didn't look like a -900 fight, though. Arlene Blancow hung in there for all 5 rounds of the fight. It was never in doubt. Cyborg got knocked off balance a couple times, which was rare for her. She got hit a few times, which was rare for her. But fight was never never in question. Is Cyborg, is she not the machine that she used to be now? Is she not the wood chipper that spits everyone out? I'm not sure, because she, Arlene Blancow, she's a fine fighter, but she's no world beater, and she hung in there, and the fight wasn't even really close to being stopped at any point.
Yeah, well, I would say this. It's always tougher to stop a fighter in their second go-round with you, especially when it was their last fight, too. Like, we've seen that a few times with Rose Namajunas going out and finishing Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Weili Zhang, and then, like, they make adjustments based on, you know, the big shots, and it's hard to land that big shot twice. So, it's a little easier for Cyborg, too, because she's big and strong, and she goes and finishes in multiple different ways. She subbed Blancow, like, She could have done that again, I guess, but like Blancow made some adjustments and looked all right in there, but it is what it is. I also just want to throw this out here too, for anybody who's like pissed that like Bellator doesn't get the love it needs to, or like Bellator champions should be treated the same way as UFC champions. And I know that's not everybody out there, but there are people who are like Bellator champions are just as impressive, and some of them could be UFC champions. Do you want to know what one-way ticket to never being considered the number one promotion? Make sure your champions, after every single title fight they win, they call out a champion at a different organization. They're not they're not calling out anybody in your company, because they know your company is second rate. So Cyborg calling out Amanda Nunes again. Like, dude, you could have left the organization and gone and fight her again, right? Like, that was on the table. You could have done it. She calls her out. Pitbull calling out Volkanovski. We had AJ McKee talking about Volkanovski even before that fight. Like, we got Corey Anderson talking about how he'd beat Glover. And, like, if you feel like you're the best in the world, just call out some people in your division and want to prove it more. And, like, not say that, like, you need to go prove it in the UFC.
Yep, it's true. You shouldn't even mention the competition, basically. But that's pretty much been Cyborg's MO all throughout her career, except when she actually was in the UFC.
That's true. Yeah, like she's always looking for she really likes the payday she's getting from the company she's in, but also like she is a competitor in all senses of the word, and she really wants to prove that she's the best. She just chooses to not fight for the organizations that would seemingly let the general public believe that.
Yeah, I don't see Cyborg UFC happening again. So, even though her contract's coming up soon, but they kind of oil and water with those two when they were together. Anything else from the event you want to speak of, Dan? It was a much better card than the night before.
No, I think you nailed it.
There you go. But second-rate promotion doesn't get more attention than that from us, right?
No, they don't need to either. Like, there were some terrible fights. Like you said, one guy got a TKO because the other guy faked a nut shot. Like, what?
Yep, that's totally Bellator. But, hey, we got a totally Bellator coming up soon. The very first fight on the UFC card was totally Bellator competitors and totally Bellator finish. So we're going to get to that in a sec. First, Athletic Greens. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. What's an adaptogen again, Dan?
It helps you adapt.
Right. And it also helps you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, focus, and aging, all of the things you're looking for from a supplement. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional habit. Daily nutritional insurance, excuse me. IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your health? Your health, your privacy. Oh boy, Dan. Ay, ay, ay. Let's try that again. IP Vanish, everybody.
It doesn't help your health either. It might not help your health.
No. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy or your health? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. Not Bellator. Second rate organization we're done with. It's the UFC. UFC Fight Night. Lemos versus Andrade went down as well last night from the UFC Apex. Main event. I wasn't surprised who won because I picked her, but we got our first standing arm triangle choke. Jessica Andrade just tanked her way into it and got herself a standing arm triangle choke. Only 3:13 into the first round. I hit this pick. Dan had the underdog, Lemos. Didn't see it going this way, but hey, I'll take my minus 239 win here.
Yeah, and I think when we broke it down, I said too, like Andrade early in a fight is possible here. I think I liked Amanda Lemos the longer the fight went, and it didn't go very long. But I will say she looked really good on the feet, didn't she?
Yep.
I mean, like the leg kicks were there. She looked like she was destroying Jessica Andrade's front leg. Andrade didn't get the takedown she needed, so she got the submission standing instead. Yep. But Lemos looked good. I just think ultimately, like, it didn't work out for her that it could go deeper. But I think the work she was putting into the legs and to the body, I think ultimately that probably would have paid off in the long run if there was a long run. But, with Jessica Andrade, you never know. That's a coin flip.
Yeah, she's still got a future, I think, in this sport for sure. Lemos looked just fine. You don't expect to get standing arm triangle choke. So have you ever won a match that way, Dan?
I've gotten an arm triangle choke from the bottom, but I've never gotten a standing one. So Aljamain Sterling actually has one in the UFC from the bottom as well. Yeah. I can't remember who he caught with that. And then you can also see the other Gumby, my namesake, Jeremy Horn, got a arm triangle from the bottom on Chuck Liddell, put him out cold.
There you go. What are we doing with Andrade now, Dan?
Man, you got to imagine she's got to have one of the top women in the strawweight division, right? Like, I know we talked about before, Marina Rodriguez seems like she's punched a title shot, but, like, the timing.
Who?
Marina Rodriguez.
Who?
Marina Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah, she's good. She's good.
Yeah, Marina Rodriguez is, like, right there for a title shot. But with, like, how long it is taking Rose Namajunas, Carla Esparza to get here, plus how infrequently Rose fights, there's a chance Rodriguez fights again. And if it is, she does, like, this would make sense. If not, maybe Mackenzie Dern? Like, either of those two matchups would work for me.
Yeah, I'd watch either of them. That's good booking, Dan, good booking. We nailed the second one. Totally nailed the second one. It was awesome to watch too. Claudio Puelles minus 110. Somehow it was basically a pick 'em fight, and we wondered why, but we took it. He was just incredible on the ground. We said if Clay Guida decided to take him down, he was going to get in trouble, and Clay Guida took him down and was in trouble numerous times. A super quick, slick knee bar, 301 into the first round. You're the grappling nerd. You can break it down.
I mean, it was so. First of all, that's his third knee bar, which is pretty. It's pretty wild.
But so the other fast on the ground.
he's fast on it, but also, like, it's really interesting the way he attacks them. So a lot of guys, when they attack leg locks, make it really clear they're attacking leg locks. But he, like, waited until this transitional moment where he kind of almost let Clay Guida pass the position he was in and attacked as he passed and, like, basically took his attention off of his legs, which is really smart to add that little bit of misdirection, because not a lot of people, you know, allow you to be on their legs for any extended period of time. So when you go for them, they see it, they stuff it, they punch you in the head. He doesn't allow that. And plus, the fact that, like, a knee bar is a little bit harder to get punched in the head during versus, like, a heel hook where they can sort of just bend at the knee and throw a right hand right to your brain. So it's both smart in the types of submissions he's attacking, the moment, the misdirection. Like, the guy, since going to Sanford MMA, has just been incredible. You have to imagine, with five in a row now in three against some really decent competition, and Clay Guida being probably the feather in the cap here, is he's got to be pretty close to the top 15. I mean, I don't think I'll put him in my top 15, but, like, he's at least nipping at the heels of those guys.
He's so fun to watch, too. Especially since we had that pick. So, yeah, very very good win for him. So Clay Guida, is he getting re-signed? That was the last fight on his contract. I don't see any reason why they should let him walk unless it's a money issue. But, like, fan favorite, he hasn't really shown horrible decline. Like, he's not getting destroyed in fights or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't like that his contract ran out. Because that seems like a bad sign to me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they would have snatched it back up. Maybe they were hoping Puella should do exactly this and they could lowball him and not give him a raise or even give him a price reduction. I don't know that Guida wants to go elsewhere to fight, but I'd say this, and I don't mean to disparage the lightweight division of the organization I'm about to talk in. Would it surprise you if Clay Guida won PFL's lightweight tournament?
Sure, yeah. Those things are kind of made for his type of fighter, right? Wrestlers.
Like, yeah.
Grind out wins.
Yeah, and I just think he's kind of the – yeah, like you said, he's, like, the right crew for that. And, look, he'd have to fight, you know, Jeremy Stevens, who I think he'd beat, or Clay Collard, or Roush Manfio, and, like – you know, those guys are tough, but, like, man, like, I do think he could at least hold his own in that crew. And, like you said, he's got that terrible style for everybody where he doesn't take damage and he lays on you and, like, he puts an incredible pace on you. So, like, he'd be good for the playoff portion of that, too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he chose to go that route. You know, I'd still like to see him in the UFC. Every time he fights, it's a lot of fun. But, you know, that contract expiring and there being options where he could make probably more money than the UFC is going to offer him, kind of a bummer. But, like, I think the door is definitely open for him to leave.
Someone who's not leaving anytime soon. We probably have decades left of her. Because this is still the Macy Barber era, Dan. She won 30-27 over Montana De La Rosa. As I predicted, she was able to. Actually, no, I didn't predict that this would be I guess it was predictable that it turned into an ugly fight, but I didn't think Barber would decide to show that she was a grappler, but her grappling held up over De La Rosa. Actually, she bested De La Rosa with her grappling. It was an ugly fight. It wasn't much fun to watch. I had Barber -190. Dan had De La Rosa. So I hit that one. This is I'm in the midst of a 9-fight winning streak right at this portion of the card. I'm sure it warmed Dan's heart to see Macy Barber is back. And actually, she never left, but she is back headed towards the title, 5-2 in the UFC, onwards and upwards.
Man, I will say this about that fight is I was actually – this hurts a lot. I was actually impressed with how physical and technical her grappling was. Like, it looked good. And, like, again, I don't think she's anywhere near the level she needs to be to compete for the title or anywhere close to it, right? Like, I still think – the Aaron Blanchfields and Manon Firos and you know, Talia Santoses and even the Andrea Lees of the division would just mop the floor with her. But, yeah, like that was – I mean, she looked like she outclassed somebody just outside of the top 15. So, yeah, at this point you have to assume she's actually pretty close to the top 15 or in it. I mean, she's actually in the UFC's top 15. So,
yep.
You know, like she showed she's worthy of that, I would say.
So who you matching up with next, Dan?
Hang on, let me pull up the UFC's top 15. Because you've got to imagine, I mean, she just fought outside of the top 15. You have to imagine that was the UFC's way of making sure she was back on track and actually good at what she's doing. So now she gets somebody back in there.
Give her Andrea Lee, like you said.
I actually think
then she can get lit up on the feet.
I actually think Jessica I is like a good name to circle.
Okay.
Like somebody like Jessica I, or you know who they probably actually will give her is Joanne Wood, who's yeah. like fallen pretty steadily and doesn't quite look herself anymore and could totally be outgrappled by Macy Barber. Like that's like just good matchmaking if you're in the turning Macy Barber into a star business. Also, I'm just looking at these rankings now. How in the world do people have her ranked over Erin Blanchfield? Come on. Yeah. Like that's
– Oh, she's 5-2 in the UFC. That's right
– I don't care. Like, she's not better than Erin Blanchfield.
Yeah, rankings don't necessarily tell you who's better or worse, that's for sure. Do you feel bad that – it sounds like she had to go into therapy because of all the hate you were giving her on this podcast, Dan?
Is that the interview after?
She had mentioned you by name, but
I didn't hear the interview after. They were talking about the MMA gambling podcast host.
Yeah, apparently not. talk about somebody helping her through her issues, but she had mentioned you by name, but I'm assuming it probably is you because everyone listens to this podcast. So moving on, back to back.
She's one of the 1.5 women who listen.
Exactly. Yeah. She's one of those. I forgot to mention Andrade and Puelas got the performance bonuses with their submissions. Then we had a couple other submissions, back-to-back submissions from French Canadians, Quebecois in the house, and we hit both these picks, which was good. They're both guillotine chokes as well. Charles Jourdain -120, guillotine choked Orlando Vanata. He out scrambled the scrambler.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Like I don't know what to say other than I'm very surprised Charles Jourdain. Well, I guess, you know, like he hit him on the feet too. Like it's worth noting that like he gets the guillotine choke here, but like some of it was set up with his hands. But I'll also say this, like, man, he looked like he knew what he was doing on the ground with a guy who went three rounds with Tony Ferguson on the mat up a weight class. And he couldn't handle Charles Jourdain, who looked, man, Charles Jourdain continues to perplex me as a guy who I'm like, is he really fucking good or is he not very good at all? Right? Because, what he did to Andre Ewell, impressive as all hell. What he did to Lando Vanata, great. What he did to Duhu Choi, really, really, really good. His fight with Josh Colabau, which ended in a draw, like, kind of bad. He got Darius choked by Julian Juicy J. Arosa. Like, I just wish I could see what his actual real potential ceiling is because it's sort of hard to see right now.
Yep. Hopefully we still get Juicy -120 odds on him. Then Power Bar, one of our favorite nicknames because we don't know what it means. Marc-Andre Barriot. Submission guillotine choke, 236 into the first round. Both French-Canadian guys. Both guillotine chokes, one of them at 232 in the first round, one of them at 236 in the first round. Back-to-back fights, pretty wild. Marc-Andre Barriot, guillotine choke, Dan's second favorite fighter, Jordan Wright, which I'm sure you were very happy to see happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is what I needed for the letdown I was eventually going to have in the Macy Barber fight. but it continues to prove that Jordan Wright is kind of a weird one-dimensional fighter who is just going to throw spinning shit and get a knockout or get beat in, like, the funniest way possible.
he's got to catch some L's for a bit to even up his record from padding it to start off his career. So we had that -180. That was the starting of the main card, then the prelims. Sergey Kendosko versus Dwight Grant. Fight of the night. Kendosko, Honda. TKO punches, second round, 4-15 in. I had this one at minus 120, so I was happy to see that. He messed up Grant's eye. Both guys actually cracked each other pretty good. So it was anyone's fight until it wasn't.
Yeah, and actually, it's worth noting, too, as far as, you know, sort of defending my pick here, Dwight Grant, he did win the first round on every yes. single judges' scorecards. He looked damn good doing it. Like you said, they both cracked each other. They win fight of the night, both of them taking home an extra 50K. But, like, man, Dwight Grant, man, he looks like the kind of guy who can beat so many people. And I think I said this in the breakdown, too, where it was like, there were times where it looked like he was going to beat D-Rod, right? There was times where it looked like he was going to beat Francisco Trinaldo, and now there are times where it looked like he was going to beat Sergey Kendonsko, and now he's 1-3 in his last three. Like, I don't yeah. know what the future looks like for this dude, but, man, like, I feel like the ceiling is so much higher than it is for other people and that are going to keep getting shots, and I almost don't feel like he's going to get another one.
Yeah, maybe this could be the end for him. Oh, I just saw a good headline, Dan. Macy Barber feels renewed confidence after UFC Vegas 52 win. I know I'm going to be the best in the world.
How's Stellar. That feel, Dan? I feel great. Yeah.
You didn't comment on the. I sent you a picture of Macy Barber. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm photobombing you with Macy Barber stuff now because I know how much you. What, like it.
Was that when she was pointing to her watch yes. for? Oh yep. my God. It, yep. Like that's so irritating because it's clearly a reference to like the fact that she thought she was going to be the youngest champ, and like forever she's going to talk about like how she was going to be the youngest champ, but that damn knee injury, which is of course the only reason she lost to Roxanne Modafari. Although I don't think I've ever heard an excuse for why Alexa Grasso beat the living shit out of her. Although, you know, I'm open to listening to one.
Exactly. We hit this one, Dan, and we're back on the same page for the light heavyweights. Tyson Pedro on his return. Knockout. It's listed as a knockout. Leg kick and punches. Didn't really need the punches. The ref made him.
I love
the ref
that.
Made him punch him, even though, like, Ike Villanueva seemed like he had quit already minutes before after a leg kick, and then he finally collapsed after a leg kick. And the ref still wasn't enough, so Tyson Pedro had to lay his hands on him too. But Pedro looked very good in his return. We had him at minus 600.
I would just say Pedro looked like I thought Pedro had the potential to look all along.
Yeah.
Which is sort of uplifting because, right, like this is a guy who I think a lot of people pegged as a future champ. And if not a future champ, like at least a future top five guy. And then obviously the back-to-back losses, nearly 3.5-year layoff. Like this is a guy who TKO'd Paul Craig and rear naked choked Khalil Roundtree. And those were his first two fights in the UFC. So, you know, like it's nice to see him back where he was. I feel bad for Ike Villanueva because I'm like, I think he's like one of the nicest dudes on the planet, but like it's yeah. clearly that you have to imagine that was the last one for him.
Yeah. I want to say you'd hope, but yeah, he doesn't seem to be up. He got way more fights in the UFC than he should have. Let's put it that way. Yeah, Pedro, not 2031 until later in the year, so there's still plenty of time in a heavy weight division like light heavyweight. So let's get this man some more fights. Let's get Kangaroo Paws out there, Dan. We missed him.
I love that nickname.
Yes. Aori Chiling, as they were calling him on the podcast, on the broadcast. And who am I to say Daniel Cormier doesn't know how to say a name properly? So Aori Chiling, TKO punches Cameron Els, someone else who kind of showed that he's not UFC at the UFC level. Cameron Els, 248 into the first round. We had this one, right, at minus 250.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of what we said was true of this fight. Like, Aori had the grappling that he could fall back on if he needed it, but also we thought his hands were too good. It proved to be that. Yeah, it proved to be exactly that.
Yep, and that was the last positive result for Dan. We have Preston Parsons beating a very game, despite only having, 4 days' notice. Evan Elder, 30-26, 30-27, 30-27. Parsons, both guys look good. Elder looked tough. Parsons looked very, very good in the grappling.
Yeah, he did look really good in the grappling. It's another one of those instances where I probably need to take a little pause in picking the short notice guy going up a weight class. Yeah. You know, like it's 2 weeks in a row where I've taken somebody like that, and Their grappling just didn't hold up quite as much as I thought it would. And that does seem to be the area where it takes the biggest hit. Like, the grappling just doesn't seem to be there quite as much. But, you know, props for Parsons. Like, he continues to be a guy who has really impressed with the grappling. Probably needs to work on his hands a little bit. But, yeah, good for him.
You got to trust the numbers, Dan. The stats say don't go with short notice replacements. So, and then we lost the first two fights. Felipe Lins finally got himself a UFC win. 29-28 over Marcin Prochniow, who looked like he was prepared for maybe a round and a half fight.
Yeah, he's always come out kind of like a bat out of hell. Like that, I said it in the breakdown. Like, that's what cost him the fight against Sam Alvey. And I thought it was going to help him here because he was going to be pressuring a guy who was usually complacent. Lins looked really good, not just in his ability to keep his composure, but also, like, you know, throw enough to actually win a round, which he hadn't been a heavyweight. But also he looked very good physically. I was impressed in the complete change in his body composition, which, by the way, we didn't get a chance to talk about Alexander Romanov's change in his body composition. Did you see him at weigh-ins?
No, I didn't.
Is he
not a chunky guy anymore?
He is down 25 pounds. He only weighed in at 240. And he weighed in at a, I'm not going to say cut 240, but I'm going to say a very strong-looking 240.
A sexy 240?
I'm going to send you a picture from my Twitter account. You should look at what Romanov, I'll let you continue to marinate on Felipe Lins winning a fight, which is a weird thing, but I'm gonna DM you the picture while we're recording and get your live reaction on the air, because it's right. Nutty, man.
No reason to talk more about this fight because we have the opener to talk about. Welterweight,
Jackson
got his second UFC win. The first one got overturned because of marijuana. This one he got DQ win via eye gouging. Dean Barry eye gouged him after kicking him in the crotch twice. So I guess three strikes, you're out. The rules are all over the place, or the application of the rules are all over the place. It was what was a no contest in the past is now a DQ tonight. And last night, it's strange. But anyhow, Mike Jackson got the win, and we lost this pick. We had him at minus 1,000, Dean Barry. So people at Jackson at plus 625 are laughing. If they had him at plus 625 to win in the first round, if they had him to win in the first round, they must have got an insane number. But I don't think we really have to say anything about this fight. Neither guy really look like they are UFC caliber at this point.
They definitely aren't. But I would also say this very interestingly, because there's a lot of things to come out of this. You're right. Dean Barry is not UFC caliber, which I thought he was probably.
He's not ready yet. That's all.
Yeah. Like he needs a ton more fights before he's ready. Like he should just be fighting for Cage Warriors right now. Like that's the bottom line. He needs 3-4 more fights for Cage Warriors. Probably a loss in there, like, would help him. And then he could fight in the UFC. I would also say
last night, bud.
He did lose last night. he lost last night, which is a wild sentence. Mike Jackson, now 2-1 in the UFC. I don't care what you want to say about weed suspensions. He's 2-1 in the UFC. That's wild that there's a world where that exists. Also that he's going to get a win bonus out of all of this. And probably a fourth fight, right? Like, they're going to find another prospect. Or rerun this one or whatever. But, like, tell me whether or not this is a hot take or not. Dean Barry deserved to be disqualified.
Like, yeah, after you kick guy in the balls twice and then do an eye poke, sure. Even if there was – people always want to claim fighters are playing things up or acting, but if, like, you have no proof.
Who cares?
You shouldn't say those things. But, yeah, three fouls within less than 4 minutes of the fight. I think that's quite all right that he lost the fight.
Yeah, and I will also say this, too, like – I don't know if you saw his statement immediately after about how he believed that Mike.
It's always the same.
Did you see the reaction to eventually what came of the hate he got for that statement though?
No, I didn't know he got hate for it. Let's get them.
So, yeah. Everybody saw that statement where he was like, Mike Jackson is faking on all three of the fouls I committed. And so he released some statement through one of his interviews that he did afterwards. Got tons of hate. Dean Barry currently doesn't have a Twitter account. He deleted his Twitter account after losing that fight.
Oh, good. Good. Take
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Irish.
All right. Before we move on and we've completely abandoned this card.
It's a sexy 240, Dan. My decision.
It is a sexy 240. Romanoff is going to be a problem at 240, man. Like, that's a dude who's going to hurt some people.
Maybe he's going to end up at light heavyweight, Dan.
Man, I don't even think I could wrap my head around that. But 240 Romanoff is already kind of a lot to wrap your head around.
Yep. No kidding, boy. So that was that. The results. I was 9-2. Oh, it started off bad. Lost that Dean Barry fight, and then I lost the Procneo pick. But then it turned around because it was a good night for the betting favorites, the chalk. Not many. Which underdogs came through? Mike Jackson, technically, he came through. Lins came through, and that is it. We had a lot of very close odds, pick'em type odds, but technically the only two underdogs came through in the first two fights.
Does that mean you had all 11 favorites?
Apparently, yeah. Because I had underdogs. I had at least I had Mudergi. He fell off. He was an underdog.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and Puelis was. It depends. So he was an underdog in some books. I think I saw him at +100 or some places. Hey, this year I haven't put in this week's stats yet, but the favorites are coming through big time this year. 69% this year, favorites are coming through.
And what? And what's your hit rate right now?
Hit rate 69%. There you go. Boom. I went 9-2. Dan went 5-6. I won 349. Dan lost 313. So on the year, I'm at 69%, picking every fight. I'm up almost $1,200 now. Can you believe that? 7.4% return on investment. Dan, 59%, down $1,200. So we're pretty much, if I give you my money, we're even, Dan.
There you go. That's what we're doing for you guys out there.
There you go. Recommended plays. Dan had Manel Cop, but that fight fell. Oh, yeah. He said personal reasons, but then he posted and I think deleted saying that he got popped in a drug test. So. Nothing official has been released.
Oh, now that you mentioned it, I did see something about him having the same metabolites as John Jones did, the pulsing ones, and he had picograms. Yep. We're back to picograms, ladies and gentlemen.
Hopefully it doesn't affect his brain like it's affected John Jones' brain. We don't need another one of those roaming the streets.
We do not. Nope.
No. So, Dan, that one was a push. He didn't end up betting that. $40 on Puelis came through. $20 on Procneo did not come through. So, Dan ended up 16.36, 1-1 on his recommended place. So, on the year, recommended place, you're at 53%, up $109, 9% return on investment. But guess who's the king of recommended plays now, Dan? Me. I've taken over that as well. I went 4-0. Puelis, Jourdain, Barrio, Pedro. All came through for me. 67-47 return on my plays. I'm 61% on my recommended plays, and I'm up $134 and almost 11% return on investment. So I am the king of the world now, Dan.
You're up 134, and what am I up?
109. So it's neck and
neck. Okay, I can get that back. All right, making sure I can get that back.
All right, so that is the UFC. They got another event, of course, coming up on the weekend. Rob Font versus Marlon Vera. Chito Vera. We're not going to do anything with that now because we got to give you some PFL picks. This is going to be a long-ass podcast. First, StableDuel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com. See how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle play race win over at StableDuel. And we're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NBA playoffs are in full swing, and PropSwap is where bettors find the best odds and turn the hard wood into hard cash. PropSwap is the only app that allows you to pick your favorite teams and then sell your bets whenever you want. Many PropSwappers make thousands of dollars just by buying and selling championship futures all playoffs long. This allows you to win over and over without your team ever lifting the trophy. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. Just don't sell your Phoenix Suns futures yet. All right, moving on. We're going to give you some PFL picks. PFL 2022 season, week two of the regular season is going down, like I said, on this Thursday. 5:30 p.m. Eastern is the start time. It is on ESPN2, the main feed, ESPN Plus for the prelims. And it's happening in Arlington, Texas. So it is this week. We've got the heavyweights and the featherweights, but Dan wants us to ignore the heavyweights. Explain to the people why you don't want to break down the heavyweights.
So first of all, it would be a 10-fight card if we were breaking down everybody. So
and we're already long enough.
Yeah, we're nearing the end of an episode as is. But here's the reason I will mostly say that is, as a rule, when I was looking at the heavyweight fights, first of all, odds very wide on almost all of the heavyweight fights. Okay. You know, you got Hennen Faria at negative 400. You got Bruno Capozzola at negative 500. You got Ante Dehia at negative 400. You got Dennis Goltsov at negative 500. So, like, we are – that's all but one heavyweight fight that I just gave you right there, where the closest odds that you can find anywhere is negative 400. So here's my hot take on if you want my heavyweight picks. Take the favorite.
There you go. Why, is this a recorded event again, Dad, and all the favorites won?
It's not a recorded event, but I will just say, like –
Are you sure, though?
Who knows? That was PFL Challengers, which I almost see as a completely different event. But, like, here's what I will say. Like, I think these heavyweight fights have not been properly booked, and they are just trying to get, like, the guys who should have a win, and they're all going to get it. So, yeah, I would just say, like, I don't know, ignore it.
Ignore it. All right. Let's do it. But you like the featherweights.
I love the featherweight matchups. I think they're so good.
All right. Let's make some picks then. Well, Dan made picks. Some of these guys I know, but I don't know the first one we're going to do. Alejandro Flores and Saba Bolaji. Flores is El Galito. Do you know what that means, Dan?
The little
G-A-L-I-T-O.
Cookie?
The rooster.
Oh.
So close, Dan.
If you change that I to an E, I believe it is Tiny Cookie.
Oh, Tiny Cookie. All right.
Galleta.
Let's tell you about Bolaji first. He's 14-2-1, three knockouts, four submissions. Never been finished in a fight. This will be his PFL debut. He's coming in off of two straight wins. Last one via knockout. Don't have his reach stats, unfortunately. Plus 125. The Rooster Man, Flores, 19-3, six knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, so all of his losses have come via finish. He's 1-0 in PFL. He's won three straight fights. He was on the Contender Series where we went 0-1. He's 2 years younger than Bolaji, 3 inches of height in his advantage, minus 155. What can you tell us?
So first of all, I would say we should not worry too much about the fact that Flores lost on the Contender Series, because he did lose to Rafael Alves, who has now beat Mark Diakasi since then. So like a legit loss. But I'm still going to go dog in this first fight. Really? I like Saba Bolaji. Here's what I'll say about him. He was a German national team wrestler. So he's a guy who's got a really good wrestling base. And if you look at his record, too, he's fought some, like, dudes. And like, I mean, It's hard to say, like, most of the guys he's fought are, like, high-level guys. They all have really great records, and if you look at most of them, a lot of the good things he's doing are that he's just getting people down and working them once he's there. And I think, don't get me wrong, like, I think Flores is tough. I think he's maybe got the better hands here, which is probably why he's favorited in this fight. But I think he might possibly have issues with the ground game with Balaji. So I'm going to take a stab at my first underdog play of this card. I like a national team wrestler sometimes doesn't mean everything, but Germany's sometimes got some decent wrestlers. So, like, being a national team wrestler from Germany actually means something.
This is a very big card for wrestlers, as you see coming up. And Dan also had a teaser there. He said his first underdog pick, meaning there could be more. Moving on, Shaman Moraes versus Boston Salmon, two names I do know because they used to be in the UFC. Salmon's nickname is Boom Boom. He's 8-3 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself twice. He's 1-0 in PFL. He's won 2 straight fights. He went 0-2 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. Inch of height on Moraes and half an inch of reach, plus 160. Shaman Moraes, 13-5, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice in his career. He's 5-3 in PFL / World Series of Fighting. He won his last 2 fights. He went 2-3 in the UFC. Used to fight down at bantamweight. He's a kickboxing champion, minus 200.
Yeah, this is the other one. This is the other dog.
Oh, okay.
This is the other dog pick I'm going to pick. I really like
Boston. Is that why?
Well, I really like Boston Salmon down a weight class or up a weight class. A lot of people thought that, him being at bantamweight and having like a ton of knockout power at bantamweight, which he did. Like, if you looked at his RFA fights back in the day, like, he was knocking dudes out back then. But, like, also, do you know Boston Salmon is the first guy ever to get a Contender Series contract?
Oh, was he the first one? Huh.
The first ever Contender Series contract. Do you know who he beat in that fight?
No, of course not.
He beat Ricky Tercios.
Oh, I know that guy, that weird guy, the funny weird guy.
Which is very crazy. And now, like, I actually think up a weight class, he's going to be so much more dangerous. And we saw a little bit of that. So he had to fight on the PFL Challenger Series to get into this. So he fought like a month and a half before this event. And my goodness, did he look much better up at featherweight. I think he looks like he probably always should have. He's got more energy. He looks like he can push that pace. And I don't think the knockout power went away. He got a stoppage. It was a corner stoppage from just, like, doing damage to the face. But, like, I think he is a dangerous dude. And I think the thing about Shaman Moraes is, like, he's also always been dangerous too, but he's also been hittable. And if you, like, look at a lot of his losses – like, they're the people who just touched him up, right? Like, Andre Feely really touched him up pretty badly in that fight, and he ate a ton of punches from Sadiq Youssef. And, yeah, those guys are definitely better than Boston Salmon, but, like, man, like, he just gets hit kind of too much for me. So, yeah, I like Boston Salmon here as another underdog in this card.
Not only are we giving you PFL picks, but Dan's trying to get you a bunch of plus money here. Plus 162. That would be a nice score if it comes through. All right. Speaking of wrestlers, I told you wrestlers are coming up. Kyle Bochniak versus Bubba Jenkins. Bochniak, crash. Jenkins, bad man. Bochniak, 11-5, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished. This is his PFL debut. He's won 3 straight fights. He went 2-5 in the UFC. Used to fight up at lightweight, plus 205. Bad man, Bubba Jenkins, 16-4, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted twice, so he's been finishing all of his losses. He went 2-1 PFL. He lost his last fight in the playoffs, I think that would have been. He was 8-3 in Bellator before this. He was a Brave champ also. Used to fight up at lightweight. I have him listed as a wrestling champion. It's way more than that. He was a not just a collegiate wrestling champion, he also was a world wrestling champion. Made his MMA debut in 2011, minus 265 coming back on him.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little bit of my own advice here and not take the guy who is fighting on short notice. Bubba Jenkins here was supposed to fight Sunbin Joe, who's pretty fun and exciting to watch, and I actually kind of like that fight better than this one with Bochniak. Because, look, I really like Bochniak. We've seen that he can do well against wrestlers occasionally. Like he did really well, like uncharacteristically well against Zabit Magomedsharipov. But like, I just don't think on short notice he's like a good match here for Bubba Jenkins, who I think is just going to absolutely out-wrestle him on every single chance. Like, Charles Rosa out-wrestled Bochniak. Like, I think Bubba Jenkins should have no problem doing so. So, yeah, I'm going to take the big favorite here in Bubba Jenkins. I think, you know, the loss he had in the playoffs last year to Chris Wade, who, by the way, we'll talk about momentarily, kind of fluky because he's beaten guys who – should give him more trouble in the wrestling than Chris Wade. But like ultimately Chris Wade did a much better job. But Bochniak should not give him any trouble.
All right. There you go. Dan did my job and told you that he was taking a short notice, which I did not have listed. So thank you, Dan, for filling in there. All right. You mentioned Chris Wade. Let's talk about Chris Wade, shall we? He's fighting Lance Palmer in another tournament fight. Palmer, do you know Palmer's nickname? There's good nicknames in this fight, Dan.
Let's see. Hang on one second, because I've interviewed Lance Palmer before. Is he the party?
Yes, he is the party, Dan.
Lance the party Palmer.
Yes. Do you know two nicknames for Chris Wade?
Yeah, so he's got one. It's the Long Island Strangler?
No, killer, but close.
Oh, okay, yeah. Same thing. I'm giving myself that one.
And the other nickname I stole from him, the Dagestan Milk Stomper.
The Dagestan Milk Stomper?
Is his
nickname?
Yes, correct.
That is...
No, it's my nickname now, but yes.
That one is pretty... I don't know why that would be. But sure, why not?
Well, have me on your Top Turtle MMA show sometime, Dan, and I'll tell you how I got the Dagestan Milk Stomper nickname.
You want to hear a weird spoiler alert for this week's Top Turtle MMA podcast? It's too bad I didn't know about that before I interviewed Chris Wade for this week's Top Turtle MMA podcast.
Oh, my gosh. There we go. All right. Let's break her down. The party first, Lance Palmer. 22-5 with one knockout, 8 submissions. He's been submitted once. That's the only time he's been stopped in 27 pro fights. 15-5 combined in World Series of Fighting / PFL. He's a 2-time PFL champion. He also was a champion in World Series of Fighting. He lost his last 2 fights. He was a wrestling champion in college. He made his debut in 2011 in MMA, plus 105. All right, they got Dagestan Milk Stomper, Chris Wade, 20-7, one knockout, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's 8-5 in PFL / WSOF. He's gone 3-2 over his last 5 fights, lost his last fight. Used to fight up at lightweight. He was in the UFC where he went 5-2. He made his pro debut in 2011. He's got 4 inches of height, 1 inch reach on Palmer, minus 135.
Yeah, worth noting, Chris Wade left the UFC on his own volition, too, because he's coming off.
5-2 record, it doesn't get you cut, usually.
Yeah, coming off a win, too. And he didn't fight too good of dudes. Like, I mean, beat Christos Iagos and Matty Bogdod and... but like his losses were to Rustam Khabilov and Islam Makhachev, which is not an easy resume at all. Anyway, back to my original point here, which is making a pick. I'm going to take Chris Wade, the slight favorite here. Look, the biggest issue I have with Lance Palmer is that when he has trouble wrestling somebody, he loses a fight. Like, that's just a fact. Like, he lost to Bubba Jenkins. He lost to Movlad Kabulev. If you want to go way, way back to World Series of Fighting, he lost to Andre Harrison, who didn't let him wrestle him. Like, if he can't wrestle the guy he's fighting, he loses. Chris Wade stuffed Bubba Jenkins, and that's all I need to know to say that Chris Wade has the ability to stuff Lance Palmer and will win this fight.
Boom. There you go. That's very, very sure of yourself with this pick, Dad. So it's going to blow up in your face more than likely, right?
Not usually. Although he does have the Top Turtle MMA stink that you talk
That's
about.
True. He has that stank on him. Is he going to stomp the Dagestan milk out of Palmer?
I don't even know what that means. I don't even begin to have an idea of what that means.
He probably trades with Dagestani guys, right? There's a lot of them in Long Island, right?
No, that's where all the Georgians are, right? Isn't that?
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
Georgian dudes. And by the way, you should not get those two confused.
Oh, no. I'm going to start an international incident here.
Yeah, they don't like being Russian, like being called Russian. Like, that's a big no-no.
Yes, it's not. Yeah, not many people right now want to be called Russian, but
that's also true.
We're lefty cucks, so what do we know? All right.
You want to
our
name
main
the,
event?
You want to name the episode?
I think I've already done that once, so save it for a rainy day. This isn't the main event, but it's our main event. Co-main event, Brandon Lochnane versus Ryoji Kudo is the last featherweight fight we're going to break down. No nicknames on the other guy. Kudo, 10-2-1 with 6 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. This is his PFL debut. He's gone 7-1 over his last 8 fights. However, the loss came in his last fight. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's 4 years younger than Lochnane. Don't have reach info on him. +375. Brandon Lochnane, 21-4, 12 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight as well. So we may have a decision one here if you want to play some props. 4-1 in PFL. He lost his last fight, which would have been in last season's playoffs. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 0-1 in the UFC way, way, way back in the day. He made his pro debut in 2010, 2 inches taller than Kudo, -500.
Yeah, I would just say this. Nobody has been screwed by the UFC quite like Lochnane. He got one fight back in 2012, lost the unanimous decision. They didn't like it. He then turns around, gets a fight on Contender Series, beats Bill Algeo, like a legit UFC dude in Bill Algeo. And you forget that this is the one where Dana White didn't like that he wrestled at the end of it instead of going for the finish.
Yeah.
And as a result, didn't sign him. Winds up being like one of the worst passes ever by Dana White because he's good. He's really damn good, and he should have no problem with Ryoji Kudo here. Don't get me wrong, Kudo's clearly got some like skills, and he's got. I would say he's got really good punching power. Like is maybe one of the things I like about him the best. But ultimately, like I just don't think he's as sharp of like a boxer and. As I kind of mentioned, Lochnane can wrestle a little bit, which I think people forget about all the time. And what he does is that, like, while he is an excellent striker, I, like, totally wouldn't be surprised if he decided to go out there and wrestle Kudo. So, the answer is Lochnane all day here. And, like, yeah, just the big number kind of scare me away. Sure, but he's still going to win this fight.
There you go. Boom. Looking forward to the card, Dan?
I actually am, and I will say this too. Like, while I said I didn't want to break down any of the heavyweight fights because they kind of all suck, there are 3 of these heavyweights that I thoroughly enjoy watching. Like, I love watching Denis Galtsov. I think he is probably the most underrated heavyweight on the planet. Ante Delia is coming off of – he won the championship last year. He's super good. And Henan Faria is a guy – who I've sort of expected was going to be the champion of PFL. Like, I thought he was going to be the guy who, like, ran away with it. He was a RFA? LFA. One of those. I think it was
one
LFA. Champion. Oh, and I just messed up, too. Tejia did not win the championship. Bruno Capelloza won it, who is also fighting on this card, with that being said.
Main event, I think.
Yep. But Dahila did beat a guy who's on the Ultimate Fighter this year coming up, so keep an eye on that.
Tough.
Yeah,
it all comes back to tough.
Which, by the way, did you know starts in a week?
Oh boy, I may watch the actual fights this year. We'll see. Not all the other nonsense, but the fights at the end. They still have fights at the end, right?
Yeah. I will tell you there are some. Both some flyweights and some heavyweights, both that I kind of enjoy watching.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, like in the one who lost to Dahila is really good. And probably we'll put on a show. But back to my original point, Henan Faria was one of the guy who like did not benefit from that very weird result with Fabricio Werdum. And it, like, kind of threw him off the whole season of PFL last year and didn't wind up working out for him. But he should, like, be a contender to win in PFL this year again.
There you go. Boom, boom, boom. So check that out Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. I know Jong and the gens in our SGPN Slack will definitely be watching it. Make sure you get in there. Yeah, Thursday, because there's fights. PF Bellator is running this week. What, Friday, Saturday? I'm not sure what day they're running. They're running this weekend, though. UFC's running. So, yeah, get in the Slack. There's always lots of fun in there. Have we gone long enough, Dan? Anything else? Anything else you want to give these people?
I think you got it all.
You got it all, Dan. We are a team. We both got it all. All right. What do I need to do? What homework do I need to give you people? Twitter. I'm Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. We both write for the sportsgamblingpodcast.com site. So make sure you go there. Read all our MMA, baseball, NBA. Of course, there's a ton of NFL stuff. All that stuff is on there. Make sure you go to the site. Make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get us in your ears the second we drop it, the episode. My site, moneymma.substack.com. You can check out all the payouts for this past fight weekend. Pick'em contest will be going up tomorrow for next week's UFC fight card. Lots of fun stuff. So head over there. And then Dan's podcast, Top Turtle MMA Podcast and Prelim Primer. But more on that on our Wednesday show because he'll tell us who's on the show and all that at that point. So, all right, that's enough. He is Gumby Vreeland. I am the Dagestan Milk Stomper, Jeff Fox. And we will be back in your ear holes or wherever hole you want us in on Wednesday. Bye.